Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Hugh is up next.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You, a word game for public radio with lofty ambitions and impeccable credentials.
So what's this show?
Are we scamming these people or hoaxing
them? Oh, I think it's pretty much a scam, don't you? This week, a special contest, East Coast versus West, featuring the dulcet, slightly feverish rasp of Nat Segalov.
If you say it too many times, it's like the fingernails going down the blackboard, and that's always that me.
The stunning articulation of the stunning Sabrina Wind.
Moo goo foo? Few? Do few. Moo goo do few?
And the stern contributions of our favorite former broadcast instructor, Doug Palau, known for classroom discipline but fairness.
Yeah, we don't like an overconfident crowd.
It's
radio, you don't have to spell it.
They square off against our East Coast regulars on Says You, next.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. The International Committee of the Red Cross is still trying to reach desperate civilians in a devastated neighborhood of the city and the Syrian city of Homs. The Syrian government has authorized the Red Cross to enter Baba Amr, but as NPR's Sean Carberry reports from the Turkish border with Syria, local security forces are preventing the convoy from entering the neighborhood.
According to the ICRC, security officials in Homs claim that mines and other hazards in Baba Amr make it too dangerous for the ICRC to enter. Seven Red Cross trucks full of food and emergency supplies arrived in the city of Homs on Friday, and they've been negotiating for permission to enter Baba Amr ever since. Syrian forces shelled the neighborhood for weeks, and opposition fighters fled the area last Thursday. Residents have been suffering without water, electricity, heat, and medical care. Activists claim that the ICRC is being prevented from entering Baba Amr, so they can't document the extent of the devastation. In the meantime, the ICRC is distributing food and emergency supplies in another village just outside of Homs city. Sean Carberry, NPR News, Hatay, Turkey.
There has been a series of explosions in the capital of the Republic of Congo. Witnesses and state media say the blasts occurred in a weapons depot that caught fire and that they were so forceful they threw open doors of homes in the city center. The number of dead and wounded not clear. The Associated Press, however, says hundreds have had to flee their homes. GOP presidential candidate Mitt Romney has received a key congressional endorsement this morning. House Majority Leader Eric Cantor of Virginia is giving Romney his backing. He cites the economy as a top issue. Cantor spoke this morning on NBC's Meet the Press. Mitt Romney is heading into Super Tuesday with a win in the non-binding straw poll in Washington State. The poll was held at Republican Party precinct caucuses this weekend, and as NPR's Martin Costi reports, turnout was impressive.
Back in 2008, only about 13,000 people participated in Washington's Republican caucuses. This year, that figure was closer to 50,000. One of those newcomers was Ron Paul supporter Mae Palmer, who says if her candidate weren't in the race, she wouldn't be involved in the Republican Party.
I would be so far removed, I'd be like on a boat to Bora Bora or something. No, I am here just because I am in support of Dr. Paul, because of his constitutional consistency and his love for liberty, for you and for me.
The straw poll doesn't actually award any delegates. That happens this summer at the Republican State Convention. Martin Costi, NPR News, Seattle.
Rescuers are still searching for possible survivors from the tornadoes that smashed into Indiana, Kentucky, and other parts of the South and Midwest. At least 38 people are dead across five states and hundreds more injured. Among the dead, four immediate family members of a toddler found alive in a field near her home in Indiana. The toddler is in critical condition. You're listening to NPR News. Radio talk show host Rush Limbaugh is apologizing to Georgetown University law student Sandra Fluke for his harsh words about her after she testified to Congress that she wanted her college health plan to cover her birth control. NPR's Dick Uliano reports.
Several advertisers left Rush Limbaugh's radio talk show, and Republicans joined Democrats criticizing him for calling Sandra Fluke a slut and a prostitute. President Obama had jumped into the fray by telephoning the law student to offer her his support. In a written statement posted on his web page, Limbaugh said his choice of words was not the best and trying to be humorous, he created a national stir. 30-year-old Fluk explained to a House Democratic committee, Georgetown Law School's health care plan doesn't include contraception, meaning birth control costs for a Georgetown law student would be $1,000 a year. Dick Iuliano, NPR News, Washington.
After yesterday's ceremonial start in downtown Anchorage, the Iditarod sled dog race gets underway for Rio today in Alaska. 66 mushers and their dog teams are due to begin the 1,000-mile race to Nome. Among them will be four-time champion Lance Mackey.
My time has maybe came and went like some, but I feel that I still have the team that's capable. I know I'm confident and I got the ability. The outcome remains to be seen.
Mackey's string of Iditarod victories was broken last year by defending champion John Baker, who beat Mackey in record time and is also back again this year. Plus, there are four other past champions who will start the race today. I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, a source for what works in education. Learn more at edutopia.org.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You in Thousand Oaks, California comes from the good folks at KCLU-FM, public radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. From California Lutheran University.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Schur.
Thank you. Thank you. From the stage of the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza in Thousand Oaks, California, it's a contest. East versus West on Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. The distaff member of our Western entourage, the elegant Sabrina Wind. That vortex of virility who champions our Pacific Crusaders, Mr. Doug Palau. And our Western jester, our Santa Ana friend, perhaps the best physical comedian on radio, Mr. Nat Sigaloff. All right, who's going to captain this week?
I'll be first captain.
Oh, Nat. We'll step up. To my left, team two. She was educated as an Easterner, though her knowledge has since gone south. Carolyn Faye Fox. She was taught by women with an avocation, and all she could think about was vacation. Paula Lyons. And he decided to prepare himself for life with the study of Shelley and Shakespeare. And oh, what a falling off was there. Mr. Arnold Reisman. Now, who's going to step up?
Paula.
In from Texas, just for this.
Yes.
Paula will be the captain. Correct answers are worth 10 points, so whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate, we always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. So let's begin with a round of what's the difference. Carolyn, what's the difference between being snowed and being sandbagged?
Well, I could say it has something to do with the weather.
You
but
could,
that would be wrong.
You could.
That would be wrong. Okay, being snowed and being sandbagged. Well, being snowed means that you are you're being snowed. You're being sold a bill of goods. You're being come on, Arnie.
Well, and then it's just figured sandbag means you've been totally tricked or and done in.
Snowed is more benign. You can shovel yourself out.
snowed is points, of the moment.
How many points for that disgraceful exhibition?
Well, wait a minute. We're not finished here, you were saying snowed is of the moment.
You're
snowed
actually is of the moment. Way
sandbag. Once you get hit with the sandbag, it's all over. You're flattened.
That is true.
There you go.
That's right.
That part of it is true. But being snowed, you want to give it one more shot?
Snowed is outdoors. Sandbag is indoors.
You're being persuaded about something that is really not the case.
That is exactly right. Okay. 10 points. You're being... When you are snowed, you have been deceived into agreeing to something. When you're sandbagged, you don't see it coming. Someone drops the sandbag from the third floor, and that's it. So that's the difference. Try this one, Doug. What's the difference between being ripped off and grifted?
Grifted and ripped off.
Yeah.
Well, being ripped off is a sort of common everyday sort of thing, you know, when you pay too much for some product. And grifted is more of a long con, I guess.
Scheme
that somebody comes up with to cheat somebody out of something.
Well, it's the character of that scheme that is really the difference. Can you think about what that might be?
No.
You mean besides a con?
Well,
a ripoff is a kind of a hit and run. It's done to you and it's over. But a grift involves some sort of confidence game, usually someone to be the grifter and someone else to be the mark.
Yeah.
So it involves a kind of a collaboration.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're a long way. You're 9 points there. There's one element that's missing. Anybody want to give it a shot up there?
Yeah. A grifter has planned to take you to the cleaners. Somebody ripping you off doesn't necessarily...
It's a very legitimate business person can rip you off.
You know.
Goes to intent.
But a grifter usually has an elaborate, complex...
Grift is a confidence game.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to give them the 10 points, too, because they did get a long way there. But let me just... the dictionary does it a different way. The dictionary says to be ripped off is to be stolen from. It's just that simple. To be grifted is to be swindled so as to willingly offer.
Okay.
Seems to be, in other words, you've swindled that person so much. Yeah.
So all those products sold on TV, do they rip you off or do they grift you?
They rip you off.
One might ask.
Yeah, I suppose it depends if they work.
Try this one, Arnold. What's the difference between being conned and being snookered?
Being conned and being snookered. Okay.
Well, now that's really a fine line.
I would
not
say.
Not really. There's a bigger distinction than you'd think.
Is conned a much more general term?
Yes, it is.
So that snooker refers to, does snooker have anything to do with referring to actually the game of snooker?
Not really.
No.
In an odd way, but...
Being cheated in a pool hall?
Yeah, I don't want to go there because it'll mislead you, but yes, there is that reference.
So go ahead. I'm neither being misled or ripped off.
That's right. You're being conned.
Yeah, I'm being conned. Well, to be conned is to be cheated, but also to be conned is the same thing as grifted. It seems to me that you have to have a willing mark, somebody who is going along with it out of greed reasons or something. And
you can be snookered without personal contact.
Well, yeah.
No. Actually, yes.
Gee, I thought it was a parking space.
You probably can, but that's not the distinction.
Oh.
You're about 6 points there so far.
Snookered.
Snookered is misled, it seems to me, much more than conned.
It's not about misleading. It's about who's misled.
Oh.
Who's misled?
Oh. Let's see.
The con is somebody who is willingly being misled, and the snooker is not...
That's not. I'm going to give you 6 points. I'm going to go to the other side. Anybody have a thought here?
If there's some sort of competition involved, like you're being snookered into a pool game, which the other person is a hustler and you don't know it. So there's actually
That's very close. That's very close. Listen to this. To con someone is to use artifice and deceit to disadvantage someone. To snooker is to con a con. To swindle a confederate in crime or to out-swindle. And that's what you can see happens in the pool hall, and that's where it comes from. But that's the difference between being conned and being
snookered. What's next, swindle and cheat?
You know,
Richard has just defined Hollywood, by the way.
That's right.
Try this one, Sabrina. What's the difference between a scam and a hoax?
Oh, here he is going that way.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Okay.
Well, I mean, scam sounds like it's about money, and a hoax sounds like it's a lie for something else.
Well,
for attention or for...
It's about the lie. It's not about, you know, money or something else, because you can be hoaxed in a number of ways or scammed in a number of ways. But it is about the lie itself, and that's what makes the difference. I know that's...
The size of the lie?
Well, there is an element of that, yes. Does anybody have any other thoughts? This is a really interesting distinction, I think.
A hoax is a more involved con, is more involved scam?
Not necessarily. I don't want
to... But a hoax involves something which people think they already know, and you distract it somewhat. You kind of build upon something which is conceived or misconceived.
Boy,
as opposed to it.
Yeah, you're really close.
And I'm the one who wrote the book on myth, hoaxes, and scams. I should know this.
Oh, that's right.
Does anybody in the audience want to take a shot? Anyone want to guess at this?
Scam involves money.
No, it's not what it involves. Anyone on the other side?
Well, go ahead.
I always thought that a scam is evil intent, absolutely. But a hoax can sometimes be not evil, but like almost like a practical joke.
That is true, but let me show you what the dictionary says. According to the dictionary definitions, a hoax often makes you believe something that is ordinarily preposterous. Mm-hmm. A scam is engineered to make you believe something seems obvious. And that's the difference. The hoax makes the unbelievable seem believable, whereas a scam makes it seem obvious.
So what's this show?
Are we scamming these people or hoaxing them?
Oh, I think it's pretty much a scam, don't you? give them 7 points, because they got a long way there. What, you don't think that's enough? Okay, give them 6 points.
Always the teacher.
Give them 7 points, because, Nat, you did get a long way there. Try this one, Paula. What's the difference between shady and shifty?
A tree can be shady.
Yeah. That's true.
That's true.
In an earthquake, a tree can be shifty.
Shifty, that's right.
Oh, you know, these are really fine lines. And as someone who used these terms in my reporting almost interchangeably, I'm having a bit of a hard time. Shifty is more sly to me. And, you know, you're slyly changing positions. And
right,
shady is more criminal. Shady is...
That is true. And you will... That's a good way there. That's a good 7 points there.
Okay.
But there's a really distinct difference that the dictionary makes that I think...
Does it have anything to do with this, and I'm not trying to make a joke here, but shady being a darker term?
Why aren't you trying to make a joke? This is a comedy joke.
Okay, I'm trying to make a joke.
Okay, that's fine.
Because shifty just sounds like it's somebody to watch out for. It doesn't necessarily mean that what they're about to perpetrate is something bad. But they've got a kind of bizarre history, so you got to watch out. And a shady character, it seems to me, is look out, something dark may happen to you. Something negative is going to happen to you.
You know, when you started mentioning someone, you got right to the heart of the matter.
Shady would be anything involving a gray area between right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm going to give you 8 points. It's a long way there. Anyone here want to fill it in? Anyone want to try it in the audience?
Shifty pretends to be good.
No, it is... according to the dictionary, to be shady is to be of questionable merit. That can apply to people. It can apply to documents. It can apply to pasts and anything. But to be shifty is a human phenomenon only. It's the inability to stand and look someone else in the eye. That's what...
Sure.
You disagree? And finally, Nat, what's the difference between being blindsided and being clotheslined?
Wow, that sounds a lot worse.
Being blindsided is being surprised by something, and being clotheslined is being hung out to dry.
Yeah. 10 points. Yay. Not the best 10 points I've ever given out, but 10 points nonetheless. You want to give it a shot? Blindsided and clotheslined. Give it a
shot. Well, I still think blindsided is being completely surprised by something that you couldn't have expected and might not have in any way predicted. And clotheslined is, I think, when you're just literally strung along, when you're not given any answer, when nothing happens and you're not able to make a decision.
That's not it. Anyone else want to take a shot at it up there?
Well, in football, blindsided means you're hit from the side that you can't see, and clotheslined usually means, you know, somebody's running with the ball and then they're hit by a back, and it's almost like they hit a clothesline.
Let me tell you what the dictionary says. You know, you got your 10 points. To be blindsided is to be undone by something you couldn't see coming. To be clotheslined is to be undone by something that was right in front of you. You just didn't see it.
Yeah.
As in running into the clothesline in the backyard. That is the difference between clotheslined and blindsided.
No, thank you, Professor.
That's it. And thank you for playing that round. Nice job, you guys. Nice job. Let us go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from our friends Joyce Keating and Christine DeKlotz. Oh, thank you. Yeah, see that? It is the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Paula, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The other two have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Nat's team. 10 points up for grabs to Nat, if he can find the bluffer, or to you, Paula, if he can't. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word sphragistics. S-P-H-R-A-G-I-S-T-I-C-S. Sphragistics. Ladies? Support for Says You in Thousand Oaks, California comes from California Lutheran University, dedicated to excellence in the liberal arts and professional studies. And special thanks to Sage Publications, believing passionately that engaged scholarship lies at the heart of any healthy society. On the web at sagepub.com. That's S-A-G-E-P-U-B. Says You returns after this. From home.
On the next Fresh Air, how we form habits and how we can break them. We talked with Charles Duhigg about what neuroscientists call the habit loop, cues, triggers, and rewards.
If you want to quit smoking, you should stop smoking while you're on a vacation.
Duhigg's new book is The Power of Habit. Join us.
Weekdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m.
PRI's The World brings you voices from around the globe.
They're hiding these women not just from their relatives who want to punish them.
It's your daily source for international news and a gateway to cultures beyond our borders.
I think I'll use my skills to also help others be connected to this global village.
I'm Marco Werman. Join me right here for the next edition of The World.
Weeknights at 9 o'clock.
Support for Says You on WPLN comes from WPLN listener members and from Zeitlin & Company Realtors, Missy Rodriguez-Brower, Donnie Creighton, Nan Speller, and Shay Howard of Zeitlin & Company Realtors, committed to real estate services. More information available at ZeitlinRealtors.com. Time is 9:23. It's 43 degrees in Nashville.
Says You says thanks to the Santa Monica Beach Hotel. Elegance on the ocean, steps from Santa Monica Pier. On the web at lowshotels.com/Santa Monica. That is Joyce Keating on the cello and Christine DeKlotz on piano. Thank you very much. I also want to take a moment and thank Nan Lansdowne of Carmel Valley, California, who gave us the word spreadgistics. Thank you very much, Nan. And we've had a little time with that word. We go first to a smiling Carolyn Fay Fox.
Spreadgistics. It makes me think of suffering succotash. But it's nothing to do with that, because spreadgistics is the scientific study of seals, as in, there once was a student of statistics who had difficulty with its logistics. "I don't like how this feels, so I'll study seals," he said as he turned to spreadgistics. Poet laureate.
I bet you're relieved that's over, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
I forgot what it was, actually. What was it again?
The scientific study of seals.
Oh, the study of seals. The scientific study of seals is spreadgistics. It could be that. Or it could be something else. Arnie, what do you say?
Well, I was trying to figure out what the devil this root was, but I was trying to figure out that maybe actually it was roots. Because it is the architectural planning and development of botanical gardens.
The development and planning of botanical gardens is spreadgistics.
Spreadgistics, the field of spreadgistics.
It could be. Maybe not, but it could be. Or it could be something else. Paula, what say you?
Well, actually, it is used in, it's a medical term because it refers to the study of fingernails as a diagnostic tool. Actually, you can look at fingernails, I guess, and see if people have certain diseases. So, spreadgistics is that.
You look at a person's fingernails, you can tell what's wrong with them. That's spreadgistics.
That sounds
or
like
entertainment.
Sounds like a song line, doesn't it?
It does. It really,
that's spreadgistics.
That's spreadgistics. Yes. Okay. Could be the study of fingernails. It could be the planning and development of botanical gardens. Well, it could be the study of seals. It is one of those three, and the choice, Nat, belongs to you.
Oh, great.
Yes.
Because it's so obvious, isn't it?
We all know this, and we're just pretending we don't know. I was thinking about how Demosthenes might practice saying logistics, which really isn't going to play anywhere. Seal science, planning botanical gardens, or pointing that fingernail at me. It's such a precise word. I think it will be diagnostics involving fingernails, because it certainly sounds like it should be diagnostics. Plus, if you say it too many times, it's like the fingernails going down the blackboard, and that's always got me. But I defer to my teammates.
I think you're right. That was
yeah.
the one I thought.
Oh,
of, so
we all agree.
I know the doctors can tell things from your fingernails. So.
Yes, and they don't keep growing after you die.
No?
Which we're doing up here on the stage right now. So. So I guess we have a consensus. We're going to go with the fingernail diagnostician.
It's going to come that quickly from all of you?
Well, we have to snap it
That's
up here.
That's how good we are.
We're so right on
I could say the botanical garden speaks to me a little bit, but I like the fingernails. One way or the other.
Right.
If Paula bluffed, she did a good job.
Paula, if you bluffed and spreadgistics doesn't mean fingernails, you did a good job. Does spreadgistics mean the study of fingernails?
Well, according to my card, I did a good job.
Yay!
That was a bluff.
Nice job.
That was a good bluff. All right, audience, your turn. What do you think?
Yeah.
How many say the seals?
Wow.
How many say the botanical gardens? Well, Arnie, it's not even close. Spreadgistics has got to be the study of botanical gardens. That's what everybody in here knows. Is that, in fact, what it is?
Spreadgistics. Everyone has been snookered.
Because that's my word. The definition actually reads...
Spreadgistics, the study of seals.
That's what it is. 10 points.
Wait a minute.
Paula's team.
Wait a minute.
Now, the card doesn't say whether it's sea lions or, you know, like seals on the back of an envelope
no,
or the bottom of a...
No, it's...
Oh, okay.
You know.
Do seals have fingernails? Wait a minute.
Let's go on to round three.
Well, that was bizarre.
Diane Fletcher of Hernando, Mississippi, hears us courtesy the good folks at WKNO in Memphis. This week, she contributes to a category we call varietal wines. Few complaints register louder than those of a headline in Variety.
No.
Oh.
Employing their distinctive headline style, please use four rhyming words to retitle the following headline.
Oh, my goodness. No way. Oh. Okay.
An additional requirement, all the words should rhyme with ooh.
I'll have to rhyme with ooh.
Okay. All right.
Carolyn, try this one. Sarandon's costumer says she's overly fussy.
Okay, Sue's do?
Yep.
Sue's do's.
Ooh.
No. Sue's.
This is going to be a hard one, but we'll work it
Sue's
out.
Crew? Oh.
Sue's crew.
No, her costumer says she's overly fussy. Oh, I think I'm going to get booed for this one, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I think boo, boo, boo.
Boo, boo, boo.
Tutu.
Overly
fussy. Oh, you're getting there.
Tutu. Sue's tutu.
Is tutu.
Is too frou-frou.
Frou-frou.
Oh! That's exactly right.
Oh, my God.
You know.
What's that? What's that got to do with?
It's Sarandon's costumer says she's overly fussy. Sue's too frou-frou.
Sue's
too. No, I got it, and I still don't like it.
I don't like it. Nah.
Boy, I got to say, there was a lot of disappointment registered in that audience.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Next category.
No, let's try it again. Let's try another one. Try this one. Try this one, Doug. Critics discredit Asner's Sick Out.
Critics discredit what?
Asner's Sick Out.
Are you still blue doing
flu?
Yeah.
Well, blue flu or flu, whatever.
Blue flu.
Like poo-poo.
Yes.
Blue flu. But how do you get the critics?
Yeah, poo-poo's blues.
Well, I think Asner's the only thing you're missing here.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, Asner?
I got Asner. Ed Asner, yeah. Jules Asner.
No, it's more a character.
Lou Grant,
Lou.
I mean.
Oh, Lou.
Lou's flu.
Lou's
flu.
So
Lou's blue flu. Choose
Lou. They
poo-poo,
lose
poo-poo,
flu.
Lose flu.
That's close enough. Good job.
Thanks for finishing that.
Yeah, sorry.
Critics discredit Asner's Sick Out, lose flu, poo-pooed.
Poo-pooed.
Lose
flu,
poo-pooed. Oh, I'm gonna trundle on here and see if we can get through it.
We're heavy on the poo.
I'm giving this one to you, Warren, because nobody else has a shot at this. Lines of barefoot mourners attend Sutcliffe's memorial.
Okay, lines of barefoot
mourners attend Sutcliffe's memorial.
Okay, Sutcliffe is Stu. Stu, the late Stuart Sutcliffe of the Beatles, the original Beatles.
Is Fu short for funeral?
Boo hoo, Stu.
Boo-hoo's, Stu's Fu?
Barefoot.
Yeah.
Barefoot.
Lines of barefoot mourners.
Barefoot.
Cues.
Cues.
Of shoeless,
Cues.
Unshoed.
Unshoed
cues.
Cues. At Stu's. Uncued Stu's shoes. Uncued shoes.
Welcome to the Baby Talk Hour.
Unshoed cues at Stu's.
You know what? I'm going to give them 7 points. Cues. Anybody else want to try it up there?
And Stu's. 10 points at Stu's.
Boo hoo Stu.
Unshoed cues at Stu. No.
You know what? I'm going to give him. How many points
boo-hoo
did I give?
Boo hoo Stu.
Boo hoo Stu. Yeah. Unshoed cues, boo hoo Stu.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Fine. 10
yeah,
points.
Yeah, come on.
Yes,
it's your silly category.
What was it?
10
for the West Coast.
I had Stu's cues, a shoe, shoes.
Shoes. Please. Please.
Why'd you have the funeral, though?
It's a word game.
Why'd you have them at a funeral?
All right. Look at the look on Sabrina's face. Well, this is going to be good. Try this one, Sabrina.
I'm scared.
American Cantonese delicacy selling at record lows.
American.
Oh, Mushu.
Or Mushu, yeah.
Okay, selling at record.
Few.
Okay.
Mugu.
Do few. Mugu do few?
What? Boy, this is working out a lot better than I thought it was.
do too few.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm going to give them 10 points because I can't take it. Anybody else want to guess?
Mugu what? What'd they say?
Audience?
You.
That's from the
you
back of the audience.
Mugu. Future you
Mugu.
Future
Mugu.
Future
Mugu.
Mugu.
Future Mugu.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's right. Try this one, Paula. Playboy magazine publisher.
Okay.
Oh, we got Hugh. Okay.
Yeah.
What about Hugh?
Playboy magazine's publisher's deception reaffirms basic tenets.
Hugh's voodoo. Voodoo?
Well, the Hugh is right, no?
Not voodoo?
His deception.
Deception.
Deception. Oh, my gosh. Hughes. Snooker.
No.
What's his deception?
Diffuse.
Deception.
His disabuse.
Disabuse, yeah. Abuse.
Ooh.
Abuse. Hughes abuse.
No.
Renews.
Renews.
Well, renews I would accept.
That's
renews.
One of the renews.
We haven't got his deception, renews. Though.
So you're up to 5 points
Hughes.
So far. Can you help him out, audience? Ruse is correct.
Ruse.
Hugh's ruse proves truths. That's what it is.
Truth.
What?
And let's just put an end to this. What do you say? Try this one, Nat.
Well, how many points?
What did you just do?
Oh, you got
that?
5 points
travesty.
For that. 5 points.
Okay.
And try this one, Nat. Jack Hanna fires entire shovel brigade.
Oh.
Yeah, that I got.
Zoos.
Yeah, okay.
Zoo.
Something
in
there.
Right,
yeah.
Okay, Zoo.
Fires.
Zoo crew.
Zoo crew.
Zoo crew.
Zoo
crew. What is he?
Boy, they'll be glad when this wins.
Shoes.
refuse.
We've got 3/4 of it here.
You have 3/4 of it?
Yeah, we have 3/4.
We
have. Do we have to smell it out for you?
Yes.
The poo crew. The poo crew.
A Q? The poo crew. It is the poo crew. You know what? I'm going to give them.
Choose the poo crew.
You know what? Give them 10 points. That's fine. 10 points for the West.
What is it? What are we missing?
It is actually the Zoo Doo Crew through.
What?
Zoo Doo Crew.
Jack Hanna fires entire shovel brigade. Zoo Doo Crew through.
Oh, is it supposed to poo crew?
Instead of poo crew, yeah.
Thanks once again to
10,
Diane
right?
Fletcher of Hernando, Mississippi.
I wore a Homer dress.
Yeah.
We're coming
for
you, Diane.
Send all this to her.
Right. For a round that no one here will soon forget, that's for sure. Thank you very much, Diane. We took some liberties with that, but we really appreciate it. And let's go on to round 4, which is Nat's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word. Two will bluff 10 points. Paula, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few moments to come up with a definition for the contribution of Jane Weber of Berkeley, California. Jane sent us the word mead. M-E-E-D. Mead. Ladies? Says You comes from Sage Publications, resources for book authors, editors, booksellers, faculty, librarians, and others. On the web at sagepub.com. That's SAGEPUB. And thanks also to California Lutheran University, dedicated to excellence in the liberal arts and professional studies. On the web at callutheran.edu. That's CALLUTHERAN. Briefly, Says You pauses.
just long enough for a few interstitial announcements. We'll be right back.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. Super Tuesday inches closer. Will economic issues bring voters to the polls, or will it be social issues such as birth control? Also, Sandra Singh Low on saying the thing that no one wants to hear. She doesn't want to take care of her elderly father. That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of News and Culture, here and now.
Weekdays at noon.
Hi there, I'm Gian Gomeshi. Lisa Ray is a Canadian actor, model, philanthropist, and now the host of the new season of Top Chef Canada. She's also busy raising awareness and funds for research on multiple myeloma. A feature conversation with Lisa Ray coming up on Q from PRI, Public Radio International.
Weeknights at 10 o'clock. You're listening to Says You here on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio. Coming up in 20 minutes at 10 o'clock is Studio 360, followed at 11 o'clock by Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Right now the time is 9:40. It's 45 degrees in Nashville.
You can hear Says You Again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high-quality copies available. Hi, this is Richard. I just want to take a moment and thank all the folks who joined the fun with us this year and sold out shows from coast to coast. Details for next season's tapings will be up soon on the website at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. Where if you just follow that join the fun link, we'll show you how to join the fun. That's Joyce Keating on cello, Christine DeClotz on piano. All from the music department at California Lutheran University, thank you very much, folks. I appreciate it. We have had a few moments with the word mead. We will go first to a puzzled-looking Doug Palau.
Mead. First, I thought, you know, mead, to be mead, in my case, would be Doug. But no, actually, it's a term like it's like a group of a certain type of an animal, like a pride of lions. In this case, water buffaloes. A mead of water buffaloes.
A mead of what?
Water buffaloes.
Water buffaloes. A mead of water buffaloes.
When they get together, they have a mead and greet.
It had a. A very derisive laugh came from the back of the audience. I don't know, but mead is a mead of water buffaloes. More than three, say, is a mead. And that could possibly be it. The reaction of the audience notwithstanding. Didn't you also get phragistics wrong? I'm just curious.
Yeah, we don't like an overconfident crowd.
Yeah, you know, you gotta. Okay, it could be the water buffaloes, or it could be something else. Sabrina, what say you?
It could be comeuppance, like a fitting return. Something like, I wish I had said this. And actually, then I tried to write esprit d'escalier, and then I couldn't remember how to spell escalier. And I made myself laugh hysterically.
It's radio. You don't have to spell it.
Comeuppance, a just reward or something like that is mead. It could be that. Sounds plausible. Or it could be something else. Nat, what do you say?
Mead is an informal military term. It came out of the Napoleonic Wars. It's the poor guy who was assigned to count the dead and injured during or after various battles. So a mead is the person who was assigned to count the dead and injured after Napoleonic battles.
You're kidding.
No, it's on here.
They had a guy go out in the field, count the thing. He was the mead.
He had to count very high, if I recall my history.
Well, that could be the me, the guy that goes out on the battlefield and counts the bodies. It could be comeuppance, that fitting return you get, or it could be... Now the meat of water buffaloes isn't sounding so bad, is it? It is one of those three, and the choice, Paula, is yours.
Well, isn't this a blast?
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you think, partners?
I thought a mead was that which comes back at you after you try and redeem it. But we won't go there.
Oh.
Arnie, you have a fan.
Usually when it's a gaggle or something like that, the word actually has some other meaning. Is there such a thing as a mead of water buffaloes?
I don't think so.
Okay, so I'm agreeing with you that I don't think so. So that's probably means it's it, but let's put it aside for the moment.
A comeuppance. The guy who counts the dead.
Well, I think it's either one of those.
Waterlulu.
Come here, Waterlulu. You'll be the mead.
I mean, I'm sure there is a guy. I'm sure there is a guy who had to do that. But yeah. I'm leaning towards comeuppance. Would I be?
Yeah.
Would I have a rebellion?
Yeah, I would go with that right
All
now.
All righty. Let's, in the interest
I think
of
it's Sabrina's.
Time and direct response, we say comeuppance.
Sabrina, they have come to the unanimous decision that mead is comeuppance. A fitting return is that, in fact, what it means.
I need to learn to bluff better. Yes, it is a fitting return.
10 points. Good job, you guys. This week's Spotlight Round comes at the request of Mary Johnson of Vancouver, British Columbia. Mary writes, "You used to do a round of parts of things that made up something. I haven't heard one like that in a long time, but I remember loving it. Can you find one such category from way back when?" We can, Mary. All the way back to season 2, when Barry Nolan, Francine Akbar, and Tony Khan joined us that day for a round of constituent parts. The following items together make up what greater whole? Carolyn.
Yes.
Davis, Dellinger, Freund's, Weiner, Hoffman, Rubin, and Hayden.
Those were the last names of the kids in my second grade Hebrew school class. The Chicago 7.
The Chicago 7 is exactly right. 10 points. Very good. Tony, what greater whole are these constituent parts? The fillet of a fenny snake, the toe of a frog, the wool of a bat, and the tongue of a dog.
Parts of a donut.
Actually, it's why you don't ask questions about sausage.
Would that be the... Sorry, Richard.
I'm sorry, the donut got me.
Would that be the recipe of the witches in Macbeth?
I'll give them, and you want an extra bonus point? What did I leave out?
Eye of Newt.
Eye of Newt, I did. 11 points, very good.
Right.
Arnie.
Oh, boy. Yep.
Logic, rhetoric, mathematics, geometry, music, astronomy, and grammar.
The 7 deadly sins.
Some kind of a classical
sounds
education.
Like the basics of liberal arts education.
That is exactly right. Yeah. 10 points. How do you know these things?
Right.
Logic, rhetoric.
I just told them. That's how Tommy knew.
Yes.
Remember a few things.
Mathematics, geometry, music, astronomy, and grammar are indeed the liberal arts. Very
right.
good.
And
Francine, try this. Who? What? Why? I don't know. I don't give a damn. Because, today, and tomorrow.
Oh, great. That's Abbott and Costello, the members of the baseball team, and Abbott and Costello's routine of who's on first base.
10 points. Excellent.
Thank you, Barry.
Abbott and Costello's baseball team from the Who's on First routine. Paula, only you could answer this.
Oh, yeah, right.
And it's going to be very hard. Courage, purity, humility, honesty, diligence, charity, and fidelity.
Those are all things Dan Rather said at the end of Newscast.
Or a missing persons report in Washington.
All of the qualities missing in the present activities of the Congress, right?
The Boy Scouts, the Army, the military.
Courage, purity, humility, honesty, virtue. Diligence, charity, and fidelity. This is the hardest one of
the virtues.
I'm sorry?
The virtues.
They are indeed virtues, the seven virtues, and if you could be any more specific, you'll get 10 points.
I know I'm supposed to know this.
Cardinal Vestal virtues?
No.
Cardinal virtues.
Cardinal virtues, is that it?
No, it is not. Actually, I'm going to give you 8 points because it was really a good start. Those are the seven deadly virtues. As expounded.
Deadly? Not deadly.
As sung in the song.
By Mordred in Camelot.
Very good. The seven deadly virtues, those ghastly little traps. All right, Barry, try this. Aventine. Kalian. Capitoline. Esquiline. Palatine. Quirinal. And Viminal. And I hope I pronounced those correctly.
Quirinal I take every Thursday.
Yeah, right.
Those marble? Are font types?
No, I'm sorry.
Are they kinds of marble?
No, we're getting nowhere over there. We'll go to the other side. Any thoughts?
Roman architectural design. Yeah.
Well, you're right to be in Rome.
Roman racehorses.
No,
I know the hills of Rome.
It is indeed.
Rome.
Give them 5 points for that. No, give them 4 points for that.
Give them 4 points.
It is the seven holes. Well, I got you into Rome. That's our spotlight round for this week. If there's a memorable moment you haven't heard in years, let us know. We'll send our crack staff into the archives and do our best to find your favorite. You can register your choice at saysyou.net. That's SAYSYOU. That's our look back. Now, back to the present. Let's go on to round 5. What would a trip to Southern California be without a Hollywood round of Says Who? Using the clues provided, please give me the show business biggie who uttered the following legendary words. Carolyn.
Yes.
Leading with his chin, this wit proclaimed, if God doesn't destroy Hollywood Boulevard, he owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology.
That would be Mel Gibson.
It would not be Mel Gibson.
Oh, it should be.
It's a rough translation from the Aramaic. leading with his chin, was that the thing? Did Jay Leno say
it's
this?
Jay Leno.
There we go.
Oh,
good. All right, try this one, Doug. One of his classic radio utterances was, an associate producer? That's the only guy in Hollywood who would associate with a producer.
Oh, good Lord. Orson Welles.
It is not Orson Welles, no.
I was going to say Fred Allen.
Well, then you'd have been right. Yeah, Fred Allen is right. That's a second guess.
Thank you.
So we'll give them 8 points for that. We'll get 8 points for Fred Allen. Very good. Try this one, Orin. One of the few entertainers who have ever won an Oscar, Emmy, Grammy, and Tony, this legend once opined, in Hollywood, when people die, they don't say, did he leave a will? They say, did he leave a diary?
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. So that means he sings or plays or something.
Could be a spoken word.
And a Tony, and an Oscar, and an Emmy.
Oh,
Bob Hope?
No, it is not Bob Hope. That's
what a good guess.
Bob Hope win a Grammy?
Oh, Mel Brooks.
Did Mel Brooks win a
record?
Well, for a 10,000-year-old man, I thought maybe he did.
You're absolutely right. No, it isn't
no.
Mel Brooks.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
Does anybody, don't say it out loud. Is anybody on the other side? No.
We've got guesses.
Have thoughts.
Okay. Don't say it out loud. Does anyone in the audience
think Bing Crosby didn't win a Tony, as far as I know.
No, I don't think they're going to get this. Let me
How about a hint?
Is it he or she? Can you at least tell us that?
I can give you that. Yeah, it's a she.
Yeah.
She.
Uh-huh. I have a good guess.
You have a good guess, don't
you? Yeah, now we have it.
Okay.
Barbara Streisand.
It is not.
Meryl Streep.
Oh. That was her good guess.
Betty Davis.
And everything else.
Mary Tyler Moore.
No, I'm going to go to the other side.
Marlena Dietrich.
Yeah. Other side, want to take a shot?
Liza Minnelli.
Liza Minnelli is exactly right.
Wow. And
we get points.
Liza Minnelli.
Well, we've been here a while, and we were.
Good work.
All right. Try this one, Sabrina. Once told that her acting ran the gamut of emotions from A to B, this legend is reputed to have said of her peers, the average Hollywood film star's ambition is to be admired by an American, courted by an Italian, married to an Englishman, and have a French boyfriend.
Well, I have a good guess because Nat wrote it down for me.
Oh, yeah.
How about Katharine Hepburn?
That'd be just about perfect, yeah. Katharine Hepburn is right.
You could have taken credit for that.
No, I'm not good at taking credit.
No, that's great. All right, try this one, Paula. This untouchable Hollywood figure once said, Hollywood is where they shoot too many pictures and not enough actors.
Are we talking Robert Stack?
Whoa, no, we're not talking Robert Stack.
Well, no, so say that again, the very
this
beginning.
This untouchable Hollywood figure once
That's
said...
That's why I thought.
Yeah.
Hollywood
untouchable.
Is...
Untouchable. Who's the other untouchable?
Sean Connery?
Oh, no. You know...
Oh,
not,
I thought you'd get
not
this.
Sean Connery.
No, I thought you'd get this. I'm so upset.
James Cagney.
I don't know.
No. I'm going to have to go to the other side. Any guesses?
George Raft.
Untouchable?
Yeah.
George Raft?
That's a big hint, that untouchable.
George Raft?
Oh, Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner.
No.
Ben Kingsley.
This one goes back even further than that.
Edward G. Robinson.
Audience, you want to take a shot?
Who?
No, it is Walter Winchell.
Walter Winchell.
Walter Winchell. The narrator from The Untouchables, Walter Winchell.
Of course.
The narrator.
And the Hollywood, Hollywood is...
Oh.
Okay.
I got clotheslined on that one.
You got clotheslined right in front of you. And I don't know if you'll get this. This is a tough one, Nat. I'll save this one for the end, but give it a shot, because there's nothing riding on it but the whole game. This Latin heartthrob turned television joker notably offered... Well, you know what they say in Hollywood. The most important thing is being sincere, even if you have to fake it.
Naomi Campbell? No, that was a shout-out to a friend. Well, the consensus is Cesar Romero.
Well, the consensus once again is right. That's exactly right. They got Cesar Romero... That gave them 85 points, and that is a come-from-behind victory for the West Coast team. Congratulations, winners this week. California.
Yeah, we won the Bluffing House.
Hey. Good job. Good job.
That is all we have time for this week. I want to thank Mary Olson, Jim Rondo, Lance Orozco, and Mary Carnett Shiflett at KCLU here in Ventura County. Thank you very much, folks. And to all the people here at the wonderfully named Sure Forum, thank you for all your help and hospitality. Sure and Salkin write the words. Mark Holden and Wes Dewberry capture the moment. And Zach Moore is our associate producer and webmaster. We close this week. Have you all heard about the site conjunctivitis.com? I got to say, a site for sore eyes. That is all we've got from California tonight. We'll see you all next week.
Support for Seju in Thousand Oaks, California comes from the good folks at KCLU FM, public radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties from California Lutheran University. Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Seju, created and produced by Pippin and Finch, Boston.
You've been listening to Says You here on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all of our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. Support for our programming comes from WPLN listener members. Support the programming you value with a pledge today. You could win a 7-day Mediterranean cruise for two. The cruise includes stops in Rome, Naples, Florence, Marseille, Barcelona, and more. Our spring e-pledge drawing will be held this Friday morning. Pledge now and enter at WPLN.org. Nashville weather for today, a 20% chance of showers after 3 o'clock, otherwise partly sunny today and the high in the mid-50s. Tonight, a chance of showers before 4 a.m., then a chance of flurries, mostly cloudy, the low in the mid-30s. And for tomorrow,